from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. 5 DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We are live at Specs, and we've been having a blast out here all day. I know Corey and Mike love the sandwiches. We got brought some of those world-famous maple pecan pies with Crown Royal. We gave away some gift cards. There's been people stopping by from Grandy's, from all kinds of places. It's been a blast out here today.
Yes, it has.
Yeah. Oh, man, that was not as fired up as I was kind of hoping for. Well, you could still make your way out to Specs if you want to come see us and experience the C Block in person.
I thought you were going to be Flavor Flav on that one, Corey.
Sorry, I didn't go all clock necklace
on
you.
Yeah, boy!
And then snap on him.
Yeah, and then go pot water poloing.
Because he's a water polo fan now? Yep. Is that what's happening here? Mm-hmm. I did not know. Oh, yeah, that's right.
He supported the water polo.
Right. Yeah. He took care of everybody during the Olympics. Yeah.
You call him an athletic supporter now. Because those are athletes.
That's the only reason he brought that up.
All right, everybody. We are out here at Specs, and I strongly urge you to swing on by and pick up the new small batch from Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey. It is 93 proof, man. That one is this is new, so I'm going to be tasting this one very soon.
What's a high proof?
That's high. Okay. That's pretty good. 110 proof is pretty high sometimes, too. That can happen to you. But this is my favorite one, the Double Oak. I love the flavor palette on that one the most. But they have plenty of fantastic options you can try when you get out here as they are doing the tasting. In addition to that, though, you can get these bottles out here for fantastic prices at Specs. Always a great partner for us here at 105.3 The Fan. Now, Kevin, I was scrolling through TikTok, and I happened to come across the Caps Off podcast.
Okay.
And they typed in some information to get the records for all the teams this year into ChatGPT. For the NFL, they said, what are going to be the records for each team? And so I said, hey, that's not a bad idea. I think we can get some more. Because ChatGPT basically predicts things, right? You ask it to do something, and then it goes back and it'll say, hey, we've collected all the information from all over the world. This is what we think will be the outcome of everything. So Bobby actually helped me out. I just asked him. I just said, hey, have you ever done this before? And moments later, he texted me back and said, hey, I got a Google document already set up for you if you want this information. And I was like, thank you very much, Bobby Belt. I really appreciate that. So we predicted the records for every NFL team in the 2024 season, the final regular season standings, and the major award winners. In addition to that, we have the predictions for their path to the Super Bowl in the playoffs. So even predictions for outcomes of each one of those games. Now, Kevin, I want you to go ahead and write this down because you're competing against technology this year.
Okay.
Mike, you two are going to be competing against technology this year, and I'm going to take what y'all write down, and I'm going to compare it at the end of the season. Were y'all smarter than technology this year? We start with the Dallas Cowboys record. What is your prediction for the Cowboys record this year. And I know we're going to do this at some point too, but
10-7.
10-7 is where you are. Give me your pen then, because I'm going to write it down. And you're not paying attention to me over there. All right, here we go. 10-7.
I can remember.
No,
a
you.
Few
I,
numbers.
But I can't remember a few numbers, okay. Kevin. So 10-7. Mike.
Just the same way Demi Moore said it. Ditto.
All right.
Isn't that ghost?
Yes.
10-7.
You're my.
But then I just figured it was going to move over to the indecent proposal.
Yeah, and you're going to get indecent proposal by ChatGPT.
What's the guy who died that was in Ghost?
Patrick Swayze.
You're the Patrick Swayze.
Thanks.
Where's Whoopi? You're Whoopi.
Oh, you won an Academy Award for that.
Man, and you host a crazy show.
ChatGPT has the Cowboys for the fourth straight season going 12-5.
Oh!
Heck
whoa.
Yeah.
However,
oh no,
that is not good enough to win the division.
Really?
As the Cowboys will be second place to the Philadelphia Eagles, who they predict will go 13-4.
Wow.
They also have the Giants going 9-8, and the Commanders, Kevin, we discussed this earlier, going 7-10.
Yeah.
So the Commanders, didn't you ask? Then we were looking at that just a little bit. You asked about the Patriots earlier. They have the Patriots going 6-11.
Oh, so that's probably better than.
Did they do this and make all the numbers work? If we're going 12-5, Philly's going 13 wins.
Okay.
England's going 6 wins. I feel like they're adding. This is not going to add up to enough.
This
wins
is
and
a
losses.
Fun thing every year that like ESPN and CBS and other places go. They go to every single beat writer across the country and like, what do you think your team's record's going to be for the NFL season? And the teams always end up like being, I don't know, 30 games over 500. And you're like, well, that's not how any of this is going to.
Well,
work.
Mike, they do have the Arizona Cardinals at 4-13. So that's the worst.
They would have
number one. Denver Broncos, they would have them swinging around at 8-9 this year.
Finishing third
in that division ahead of the Raiders, who are terrible at 6-11.
What are the Carolina Panthers?
Carolina Panthers, Mike, good question. 6-11.
Wow.
They have them winning 6 games. I don't even know if I can see that right now.
What do they have the Packers on?
They have the Packers. This is 7-10.
What?
They have the Packers,
one game better.
Didn't Jared yesterday say that he thinks that the there's too much hype on the Packers right now?
Yeah.
They have the Bears at 6-11. And then they have the Lions at 11-6 and the Vikings at 9-8. So, and I this was after the injuries too that we had this going in. So this is technology creating this these outcomes. All right, here real quick playoff picture. In the playoffs this year, the AFC playoff teams, the Chiefs, Bengals, Bills, Jags, Dolphins, Chargers. They got the Chargers in there. And in seventh, the Jets falling in there in the wild card.
Who won that division in the AFC South?
The AFC
South. That would be the Jaguars.
Oh! Get your teal and black and gold out. It's
and the
Jaguar
Texans at 5-12. So that's weird. They
so they
the
have the Texans with a worse record than the Panthers?
Well, I mean,
ouch.
We're buying the hype on the Texans right now, but I guess the technology is not.
Which I get, but if you told me right now they'll finish with a worse record than the Panthers, I'm going to be like, oh no, what happened?
Yeah, exactly.
Where's Jerry Jones' other team that he owns?
The Rams?
Yeah, the Rams.
The Rams finish at 8-9, third in the division behind Seahawks and San Francisco 49ers. He's got the Niners going 13-4. And the Niners would end up winning the division or winning their division being with the best record. So they would be one, the Eagles at 2, the Lions at 3, the Saints winning the South. And then the Cowboys, Seahawks, and Giants in the playoffs. So that's the playoff lineup right there.
Would you be mad if at training camp Jerry Jones accidentally wore his Rams Super Bowl ring?
He does not have a Rams Super Bowl ring.
Are you 100% positive?
I'm 100% positive.
Okay.
You know what? I am not 100% positive because I have a feeling that he gambled with Stan Kroenke at some point in a game of poker and won that Super Bowl ring from him.
Okay,
at some
let me
point.
Ask you this. Is it possible that he only has 2 Cowboys Super Bowl rings and 1 Rams Super Bowl ring because of the aforementioned gambling?
That is a possibility.
Okay.
That is a possibility. All right, the major NFL Pro Award predictions. We got the MVP is Patrick Mahomes.
That feels logical.
Going out on a limb there.
Offensive Player of the Year. Who do you think?
There are some other spicy predictions in those records.
Offensive Player of the Year.
Tyreek.
Zeke.
Shut up.
What are you doing?
If it's Zeke, I'm freaking out.
Are you going to answer Zeke for all these, too?
Not for Defensive Player of the Year.
Justin Jefferson is who they got there.
Okay. Who named for Best Blocker of the Year?
Micah Parsons is the selection for Defensive Player of the Year. And then you got Caleb Williams, Dallas Turner, Coach of the Year, Dan Campbell is the prediction for Coach of the
Thunder
Year.
Thunder Dan.
And Kevin, as you asked earlier, Comeback Player of the Year? Aaron Rodgers would be the victor for
chat,
that.
GPT.
Now, next, predict the outcome of each playoff game all the way through the Super Bowl. So we're going to go through each one of these games,
Cowboys
guys.
Lose.
Actually, Mike.
Oh, my God.
This thing's
just
rare.
Tell
this,
me that.
This is
in the NFC wild card round.
Then we know. Unless,
the Cowboys are at the New Orleans Saints.
Did the Saints go 8-9?
We can win this game.
And the Cowboys win 34-20.
Hell
against
yeah!
The New Orleans Saints. In the NFC wild
we
card
round. We beat another
round.
Under 500 team.
Hey, I don't care.
In the NFC divisional round.
Oh, here we go. Who's in the divisional round?
San Fran.
The Eagles and Lions are playing each other.
Okay.
And the Cowboys are at the San Francisco 49ers.
Son of a biscuit.
And it comes down to a field goal to win the game.
24-6.
We're going to do. That's not a field goal.
You got 24 right.
24-21.
The Cowboys win, or the Cowboys score 20.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
24 and lose to the Niners 27-24, according to Chad
GPT. That would be
GPT.
A great year, to be honest.
They lose by a field goal. And then the Super Bowl prediction is Niners again against the Chiefs, which makes sense because they're like preseason, they're the two best teams as
happens,
far as talent goes.
3 for $180, right? Do you have to offer more? Do you go 3 for $200?
No, I think 3 for $180.
$150 guaranteed? All the no trade clauses,
I could see that, yeah. That's a really high percentage of
guaranteed. Mike McCarthy, 3-year extension?
I could see that.
Winning a playoff game and then going to the second round, and losing against the team that goes to the Super Bowl.
And being close, yeah. And the game being close, too. I'm not kidding. I think that gets it done.
Blowout game. See, that's the thing, though, throughout this season is how many times in the regular season, if a blowout loss happens to the Cowboys against a quality team? Because your schedule's stacked up against lots of quality teams this year. And that's where I start going, man, there's plenty of opportunities for those embarrassing-type losses to stand out. And then a team like Arizona pops up, and everybody's like, oh, it's Arizona. Like, nobody really saw that coming. But then it's the good teams that you're playing against that whenever you lose. By the way, from the 2-1-4, when are y'all coming out to Fort Worth? From Barry Fish. So Barry Fish wants
Barry Fish wants to see us out there.
And,
hey,
we've
got our Buffalo Wild Wings tour coming up for football season again.
There you go.
I bet we make an appearance. I haven't seen that schedule yet, but I feel pretty confident.
Yeah, it's gonna. I'm betting we're going to swing through Fort Worth a couple times.
Heck yeah, we are.
And then this happened the other night. We're laying in bed.
Oh. You too?
Me and my wife, Adrian. And we're laying there, and we're getting ready to go to sleep, and it was quiet. It was. Do you guys kiss your wives every night before you go to sleep? Do y'all always give a smooch?
Yes, because then I get in trouble if I don't.
Yeah? You get in trouble?
Yes, because she always says, kiss my face, please.
Okay,
that's
right.
Exactly what she
and
says.
Mike, is this? Do you share a kiss every night before you go to bed?
It matters how I feel about her and she feels about me.
Okay, so sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Even if we're in the midst of a disagreement,
you still make sure you get that done because it releases some chemicals in our bodies that make us feel good and make us love each other more. So you just do that for whatever reason. Well, I did that and then kind of rolled over, getting ready to go to sleep. And she goes, can I ask you a question?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And it was quiet for like 5 minutes. And then the first thing I said was, uh-oh. And she goes, why did you say uh-oh? And I feel like that's the appropriate response.
That is a logical question. After you've kissed goodnight, it's the end of the day.
It's time to go to sleep now.
Hey, can I ask you a question? Because if it was a nonsense question, that had just been like, do you really think 3 scoops of vanilla is too much? Like, they would have just asked you the question.
Exactly. Don't you think that uh-oh is the appropriate response,
yes,
there, Mike?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, it's not fun.
Okay.
Oh, no,
when I said
Mike.
Uh-oh and she goes, what do you mean uh-oh? And I was like, I just feel like when you ask it that way that it's not going to be a question that I'm going to feel like this is going to be a more serious conversation than I'm prepared for right now because I was going to bed. And she goes, fine, I won't ask the question. And then she rolled over and went back to sleep. And I thought that was a victory because now I didn't have to talk anymore.
Oh, disagree.
But things have been kind of rough since then. So she's kind of given me the cold shoulder since then. What should I do to make up for this? Do I just say, hey, let's talk about that question? What's the stupid question, though?
Okay, but then at least you won't be in trouble anymore. That's not your job to judge the question. You're in trouble because you wouldn't hear the question
out.
What
if it's a judgment? Don't you feel like that's a judgmental way to ask, can I ask you a question?
Definitely.
All right. Well, I'll see how it goes. I'll talk to her later this evening probably. And then I'll talk to her before bed again. You know, probably that's probably going to happen too. So that's
Mike,
the C block, ladies and gentlemen.
Mike, do you think this is going to go poorly?
Yeah.
Okay.
From the 214, give her some sugar. You know what? Always do that. And then from the 940, late night questions turn into 3-hour arguments. And that's exactly what I'm afraid of is whenever she says, can I ask you a question?
See, because it's never a question that ends with you going, ooh, that does sound fun.
From the 210.
And like, that's not.
From the 210, I just say no, bedtime to that question. And then just get that taken care of quickly.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Specs in Dallas off of North Central Expressway, and we're all happily married, believe it or not. Coming up next is Micah about to become the leader the Cowboys really need.
Heck yeah.
I think the answer could be yes. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Dobbs in the gun, claps his hands, has the ball come back. He's sacked by Parsons. Caught him from behind, and the Lion eats at the 20.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through The Fan. We're live at Specs in Dallas off of, we'll say 75. 9,500 off of 75 because we've been bringing up North Central Expressway and Mike says nobody knows what that is. So it is 75 if you're from here and you're like, I know exactly what that is. I want to talk about Micah Parsons, but I got to bring up something else first as a potential update to a really terrible story that we had, and it could be a massive turnaround here. You remember, I think it was last week, if not, it was 2 weeks ago, the story of Michael Hall Jr., the Browns player that he was alleged to have committed domestic violence against the mother of his child, and he allegedly held a gun up to her head and said, I'll end it all, I don't effing care. And on and on. Like, there was a whole lot to it. All right. So there are multiple reports today from WKYC and Fox 8 that the woman who is also allegedly engaged to Hall, who made these complaints, has recanted the vast majority of her story. Now, there's a couple of things to look at here. First of all, I understand for the people who will say that's why you don't jump to conclusions, you let the process play out, etc. The other part of it, and that very well could be true. I'm not discounting that at all. The other part of it is, unfortunately, you see victims of domestic violence go back again and again. The average is 11 times that a domestic violence abused person goes back to their abuser. 11 times. And I hope that that's not what's happening right here. If these claims are false, it's horrible, and there should probably be repercussions for this woman if she just made it all up. I hope that no one got abused, but I also hope she's not just going back to someone who did this to her.
Oh, yeah, I completely agree with you on that. If, look, if she recants and then says, and I'll never see him again. You know, like that,
sure.
And she doesn't find herself in another pattern where she's with somebody like that again. Then good for her, man. But the other question is, what lesson does he learn if that's the case for him? But Kevin, I don't want this to sound like so dumb, but I have been watching a lot of Suits lately.
Okay,
and this is obviously these are lawyers that are dealing with lots of different situations. But what I learned about them is, they, a lot of times, because they don't want to get into court, because you can't, it's like a coin flip when you get into court, if you get the jury right and all that stuff, they try to find ways to find things that will say, we're leveraging this so that you'll not say this anymore.
Okay.
And I wonder how often in these kinds of situations they go to somebody and they go, we found this out about your past, and this and this and this. Do you really want your kid to see that about you? And then that person goes, well, yeah. I don't want that to be out. You know, versus the, do I even have the fight for this? And it's multiple rounds of those kinds of things that end up happening throughout that. So, again, I hope that what ends up happening here is she never has to deal with it again. He learns his lesson and nobody else is affected by him. Because the worst possible thing would be that she recanted, he goes and does it to somebody else loses their life from it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that is a very good way to put it. All right, you want a lighter note topic now? I know that is very, very heavy. All right, is Micah Parsons about to become the leader the Cowboys really need? I understand for people who are like, we're just drinking the Jerry Kool-Aid. I get that, and I want to throw that out at the front. But I was reading some stuff from Micah, and it did sound like he didn't blow it off, that he had come up short in the leadership perspective. Like, listen to this quote, for example. I think it was a harsh reality and a reality check for me within myself and my self-evaluations. I got to do the best I can, not only to make myself better, but to bring along other guys. And I feel like I needed that. And I had those conversations early on. And you want to strike when the pot is hot. So he talked with Andrew Whitworth, Tom Brady, Ray Lewis. So he like went out and sought out people that not only are great football players, but I feel like you would look at all those players and be like, oh, those are known as like excellent, excellent leader types. And he said that he's talked with them a whole bunch. I believe he's talked with Tom Brady, he said, 4 or 5 times. He's also talked a bunch with Ray Lewis. He started out with Andrew Whitworth, and he said it's about improving. And we've already seen him kind of take Mozzie Smith under his wing. I can't guarantee it. And I realize to guarantee it would be pure foolishness. But when you hear a quote like that, and I can give you some more if you want. Do you think it's possible that the self-reflection hit hard and Micah was like, I got to step it up?
I can only go by the people that I work with.
Sure.
That know Micah way more than I know him. Yeah. I only know him as a football player.
Sure.
Never talked to him in my life. They don't believe it, so I have trouble believing it, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
I hear what
does.
You're saying.
No, it makes sense.
You have things to back what this topic is up, but Broadus,
Bobby,
like they're like, no, he's not a leader at all. He's a great football player. They don't deny his greatness as a football player. They're like 0% of a leader. So
yeah.
I don't think so, but I hope I'm wrong. I hope that they're wrong.
One of the three best camps for the Cowboys, Tyler Smith was one of them. Micah Parsons is another. Dak Prescott had a fantastic camp as well. So, but he always has a good camp.
Yeah.
What I'll believe about Micah is if I see the rest of the team playing with the same kind of passion that Micah plays with, because he does. And if I also don't see the pouty part that comes out from time to time, look, man, sometimes things are tough. And you got to figure out, if you're going to be a great leader, they're looking at you. They're watching you. If you're pouting about it, they're probably going, man, we don't have stand a chance. If that's the version of him that we have right now, we can't do it because we need a better him. So if when things get tough for Micah and when things get tough for the Cowboys and Micah's like, look, let me lead you out of this, that's when I'll believe it, Kevin.
Okay.
So he can say all the things right now, but I got to see the actions this year, man, and especially whenever it comes to playoff time too. So, and that's unfortunate because I think there's going to be things throughout the season that can lead you to playoff time so you can be stronger at the end of the season. But I do have to see things throughout the season that make me believe that. And that's the time to show the teammates, too, that whenever it gets tough in the playoffs, we have weeks in between games. We have time between games.
Yeah.
But we have only minutes between quarters where we get to say, hey, you know what? Get back up. Let's do this again.
You think if they have a tough loss, which they will at some point, do you think he's going to walk out 5 minutes after the game's over and make sure everybody else has to answer the questions for the team?
Exactly.
Because I kind of wonder about that, because here's an element of this. Like, I'm trying to present all the information that I have. He got called out for doing his podcast by Malik Hooker, teammate. And so he was asked if he's going to stop doing his podcast. I think we knew the answer, but just to make sure.
No.
Yeah, the answer was no. And he said, I don't think no one really cares what I'm doing on a Monday afternoon. I'm at home with my kids. Why would fans care if I'm on Xbox? We all got our free time. So the only logical response I would just throw back at that is like, well, forget the fans. One of your own teammates said, perhaps stop doing the podcast. So I don't want to make it seem like he's like, I'm going to change every single thing in my life. But here's another quote that I liked. He said, when he talked about going to the mentors, how do I approach this? How do I get better at this? This is a task I never had to take on in my life. I think my whole life, I was pretty much, this is the one right here. Micah is going to do what Micah is going to do. I just expected everyone else to do that. If you learn leadership, some people need a pat on the back and some people need a push up. I like that kind of reflectiveness because, I mean, if you've ever had a leadership position, regardless of a store manager or whatever the case is, you realize like everybody gets motivated by something different. And I appreciate him saying, I never did that before. This is probably the first time in my life that I've realized I can't just do me. I have to help out with other people.
Yeah.
Now, I know we're still working on the process of seeing it, but I like that as a quote. I think that is a very insightful quote.
Yeah, because when everybody's out there trying to hustle and get their money and everything, and they got that going on, how do you pull them into the fold? How do you pull them into saying, hey, above all those things, we're going to get paid, but now we gotta shoot for something different if we want the glory for it? And, you know, you can sit back and say, hey, somebody will say it. Or you can be the one to say it for everybody else. And if you've done the work and if they respect you along the way and they respect your work ethic and they've been watching you and they think, you know what, that dude treats people fairly. He also knows whenever he's got to tell somebody how it is, then they're going to follow, man. And so I think there's a lot to leadership that you have to be prepared to want. And not just expect is just going to happen or somebody else will do it. And maybe that's something he had to learn, but man, there's a lot of things that Dak does that you're like, yes. And then you're like, but he's still missing this much.
Sure.
Like, man, where is that other part of you that'll you know, maybe even cut somebody's throat just a little bit to get to where you're trying to go? And I want to see a little more of those leadership qualities from Micah, but it might have to be a learned thing for him.
Now, this is from the 214, but as you can probably guess, a lot of people have dropped this in the Twitch or YouTube chat or texted in it. Actions speak louder than words.
Yeah.
And I think that's something we can all agree on, but I just want to give you one more group of words from him. This is Micah. If we lose, I just don't want it to be like I didn't do everything I could to make everyone else around me better. I think last year I didn't check that box, and that's something I want everyone on the same level. So again, I like it because he is not negatively reflecting on himself, but he's like, here are ways I could improve, and I will try to do it. But I understand, I'll believe it when I see it. It just gives me another level of cautious optimism, I guess is what I'll say, for Micah going into the season.
Yeah, man. I think there's, like, everybody wants reasons to be optimistic about it.
For sure.
I also think there's this element this year of, hoping that you sold short and that you over-deliver. I think that's what Jerry's kind of hoping is, look, we're not selling you that this is going to be the best thing, and we're really hoping that our guys go out there and over-deliver for this thing because we didn't sell you anything.
Isn't it weird, though, being out at Specs today off of 75 is the Cowboy fans that have come in.
They have not been super optimistic.
A lot of them have been down.
Yeah, so, you know, we get different, I don't know what they say, 5% of our listeners, maybe even less, are text in. It's great,
sure.
You do. I'm not saying don't do it, but it's... your 5% of the 95 or the 100% of people listening is, man, the few people that came in here that are big-time Cowboy fans are like, they're not going to be good this year.
I totally understand that. Okay, Mike, as long as we're reading quotes, I want to see what you think about this because this feels like one of the realest things that you will ever hear. Obviously, you're familiar with Walker Buehler.
Yeah.
A lot of high expectations
for
him.
Blew out his arm and has never been the same.
Exactly. So he was asked about free agency.
Okay.
Oh, there he goes.
I didn't know he was going to be a free agent, but it makes sense. In 2018, he was a rookie, and he never got the contract because of his arm.
He said, I have a 6 ERA. I'm trying to figure out how to get people out in the major leagues. Free agency is talking about when you have a 2.5 and you're rolling through the league. Man, that is as honest as it gets.
I thought he got optioned down to the minor leagues. Am I wrong about that?
I thought he came back.
He might have come back. I guess I saw him the other day, and I'm like, crap. Because they're desperate for pitching, and he's just been horrible ever since.
Yeah.
You know, it's 2 years ago he had the injury, and he has not come back the same. And I was like, crap, I saw him pitching in an Oklahoma City game because that's where the Dodgers AAA is. So I'm like, he's doing so bad that the Dodgers are like, we need pitching, and we won't even – in fact, the whole year, August 20th, oh, this is against Seattle. So August 8th, he was in Oklahoma City pitching against Round Rock.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live from Specs. Go ahead.
If you have no money, I'm just saying, the Rangers.
Oh.
I don't know this, but if you need, this is people that might be like, when you're like, who could the Rangers get to get better? Maybe the deal is you just take a chance on a Walker Buehler as a free agent and you give him a 1 year $3 million contract, and you're like, we're going to be out $3 million if he can't pitch anymore. But if he can, there's $5 million in incentives and a team option for $10 million the next year.
Well, I mean, that's what the Rangers do all the time, right? Doesn't it feel like, you know, they kind of grab guys like that, and they're like, yeah, man, you might not have anything.
And you know what? Usually it doesn't work out, but sometimes it does. I know one that didn't is my buddy Brandon Webb. They tried it. They're like, screw it. Let's just see. Obviously, we think his arm might be done, but if it comes back, we just picked up a dude who's been a Cy Young winner and a Cy Young candidate, but his arm never recovered. And maybe Walker Buehler's arm will never really recover.
Coming up next, we're live at Specs Office 75 in Dallas. Let's chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. We'll do an X right here on the Fan.
2-1 the count. Here's the pitch. And that ball is hit back up the middle. Base knock for Wyatt Langford. Coming in to score is Ezekiel Duran. Langford with the walk-off hit. And the Rangers win it by the final score of 1-0.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We are live at Specs off of 75 in Dallas. Now, I know the show's about to wrap up. You can still get some amazing deals all day long. That deli is top-notch. They've got the humidor here. All kinds of fun stuff today. Got to meet a whole bunch of awesome people as well. Now, here's some more of those awesome people. It's the G-Bag Nation, brought to you by D&M Leasing. Fellas, how is you today?
Awesome, Hagee. How are you?
I'm doing...
Dawson's back!
Oh, yes! Dawson, how are you feeling, man?
Yeah.
I'm all right. You know, I feel super, like, tired. But the Diet Coke balances that out just fine. So I'm A-plus right now, Hagee. How about you?
Very nice. I'm doing well. Thank you very much. Now, Broadus, I wanted to ask you a quick question about this. If you could tell us a little bit more, because Lamar Jackson had a blast riding his bike to practice in Green Bay,
yeah,
in his jersey and everything. Can you tell us more about this tradition?
Yeah, it goes all the way back to, it goes back to the 50s. And where the locker room is at Lambeau Field and the practice facility is across the entire parking lot of the stadium. And then you cross the road to get to the practice site. And so, yeah, it was a tradition that the players were like making that trip of walking down that way. And then all of a sudden the kids are like, oh, let's see if they'll ride these bikes. So you have kids that will park all, they'll stage all the bikes, and you got these players that get on the bikes. The kids hold the helmets and run next to the bikes. I saw Reggie White do it one time and Brett Favre do it another time. That was the only time I ever saw those guys, because then from that point on it was, hey, Broadus, can you give us a ride and park around the backside? So then I became like, I would pick them up underneath the stadium and then take them around to the practice facility. But they would do it like one time just to get the photo op. But a lot of players do it. These kids, you know, they show up with their bikes. Some of them are really cool. Some of them are like they're probably a little too light for these players to get on. But it is a great tradition.
That is awesome.
That is
really cool. Can you imagine being a kid and just jogging along next to your favorite player?
Well, there's a picture, actually, of Steve Mariucci. Like, his bike, and he had somebody on the bike, and he was running next to it. And, yeah, it was a picture he had in his office at one time. So, yeah, it's a pretty cool tradition.
Guys, I'm sorry. We do have rules to live by, and one of those rules was broken by Broadus. So, Wolchuk, please.
Mama gave me 8 of them flapjacks, and Mama take away 5 of them flapjacks. I want to stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
That has to be said every time they say Brett Favre's name.
Yeah, Corey. That makes sense. Does the punishment get any worse if he does in fact go to jail? Or this is just
something that we'll okay.
He's a terrible, right. Terrible person. Terrible, terrible. We don't like him, but Mama gave me 8 of them flapjacks. Said Mama take away 5 of them flapjacks. I want to stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
He's just a big volleyball fan. I don't know why people can't get this. Everybody's like, oh, you know, you got to support women in sports. He was super supporting them.
Yeah.
Tell me somebody who hasn't
supported women's sports more than him.
Yeah. Yeah,
he was willing to steal.
Yeah, he was willing to do things that are against
just
the law.
Just as long as it didn't include any of his own money.
Yeah it doesn't matter.
He's like, yeah.
It's the American way. Yeah.
Copper,
we got a stadium over there in Arlington, a couple of them.
That is a good point. Broadus, I have no doubt that you enjoy being back in the Metroplex, but is it ever sad when you leave Oxnard just because it's, okay, it's a month of football awesomeness?
Yeah, it's sad. It's very sad. It's you know, it's funny, Todd Archer and I were driving back yesterday and kind of talking about how much you miss, you know, being around the practices and being able to kind of have access to the players. We don't get access like this anymore, you know, so it's 15 minutes of practice. You get to watch special teams. You really don't get to talk to anybody unless you get to go into the locker room, which a lot of the beat writers and guys and gals do. But, yeah, this is the best way to learn about the players, the coaches, the scheme. And it's tough when you have to kind of put that all away for the year.
I'm sad for him.
I
heard him the other day on Sean and RJ and Bobby and Peyton show, and he sounded really sad that it was wrapping
up. But he's back in the Metroplex so he can watch the Rangers again.
So how's that treating you now, Broadus, now that you're back
we
here?
Won.
You
know,
I'm going to be honest Rangers with baseball. You, Michael. It was from afar. I actually caught more Dodger and Angel games because I was flipping around on that. But the time change kind of got me a couple of times on some of these games when they were played. So, about the time I stopped watching, it's about the time they stopped playing really good baseball. So,
do you guys agree with the assertion that, and I'm surprised it still hasn't gotten done, but Dan Orlovsky saying that the Cowboys offense would be nothing without CeeDee Lamb? Do you agree with that?
I mean, certainly would not be as good. Nothing. I mean, I think Jake Ferguson's a hell of a player. I think Jake Ferguson can give you production. I think Brandon Cooks can give you production. I don't think it's like, oh my gosh, they are going to be totally inept and can't move the football, but he's no question 30% of your offense. I mean, it's a massive loss, but nothing to be like they're not putting up any points whatsoever is probably an overstatement.
I think I think Dan's on to something here. I really do. I really like, you know, I really appreciate what we've seen from the wide receivers out there, the way that some of them have stepped up. I mean, it gives you some hope that, you know, that with Tolbert, that you could maybe get something with him and Ferguson. But, yeah, not having CeeDee Lamb on that field, yes, because there are huge questions about your ability to even think about running this football.
I know it was a long time ago and football was different, but when I was a kid, the Cowboys were awesome at football. If Michael Irving was out, they couldn't score. It didn't matter. They had Emmitt Smith. They had the offensive line. They had Troy Aikman. They would usually score about 6 to 13 points per game if Michael Irvin wasn't on the field, whether through suspension or injury.
Yeah, when Michael got hurt there in Philadelphia in 1999, I think the team was 3-0 at the time. Mm. And Michael was the guy who was at practice. He was the catalyst. He was the guy on the field at the games. When he went away, that's when the Cowboys, as we know it, died, in my opinion. I mean, and I competed against all these guys. And when that happened, it wasn't Troy leaving or anybody else. It was when Michael Irvin went down in 99. That was the end of the Cowboys from that great Super Bowl run. But I don't know how you play well without CeeDee Lamb on offense. I really don't. And I don't, but I think Jerry and Steven and them are banking on that CeeDee Lamb will not miss game checks. That's what they're okay. We'll see if in fact that he is how resolved he is to sit out for $1 million a week. And it's not because of fines or things like that. That's game checks. So if he's willing to put $1 million a week aside to make a point, God bless him for doing that.
What do you find, fellas, got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, Heggie, thanks for asking. We have golf analyst David Faherty at 420. I think I said
that's
it right.
That's going to be some fancy talking right there.
Talk like him. Say words like he does.
I will not.
Okay.
Roll home with the G-Vag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Thanks to everybody who came out to Specs and hung out with us today. Remember, the deals continue even after we're gone. Come back with us tomorrow. We'll be in studio 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Say shop specs, Kevin.
Shop specs. Mm-hmm. We'll see you tomorrow.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.